Let me tell you about the structure. Nowadays, we have 2,300,000 domain names, and this is quite a lot for the region. Then I will let you know how we compare ourselves with the rest of the countries. The structure and openness of domain names is, as you can see in this picture, I don't know if you can see it, we only have 444,000 domain names, and then the rest is divided. When it comes to .tour, that has to do with tourist agencies, and we are trying to identify specific purposes that is being made in the rest of the world, and we are part of that. This is the relationship between domain names and population. Argentina and Colombia, we're approximately on the same basis in terms of population. We have a difference of 6.7 against 2.8, and Brazil goes below, and they have a greater amount of domain names. But in terms of population, we are high above. Part of the complexity about this process has to do with the migration process from a CCTLD working, and that was migrated to a different operating structure without the capacity of having team migration and only migrating functionalities. This was carried out by a working group. There was an application re-engineering. We had to adapt the infrastructure. We have to work with the latest advancements in software development. And we started to understand what we could add in the terms provided. So we performed the technological startup, and we started to create the networking layers. We have the IPv4 and IPv6 and the DNS, and all you can see as a startup of a CCTLD. Taking into account that the structure that is now operating should be kept, and we have to build a structure according to the new infrastructure that should support the new dynamics being implemented. New security dynamics were implemented inside and outside the application, and we planned the migration of the data center.
La migración estaba concebida en
migration
el apagado de todas las
was conceived existentes en or implied the shutdown of the old applications, data migration, taking into account that one of the things or the paradigms being changed in the application had to do with leaving or putting aside certain type of registration and have a new registration form, which is by using a username and password. So we had that data migration trying to have a friendly conciliation of information. We had to have the IP masking for NIC AR to start working. With that, this new infrastructure, we had to begin with the infrastructure. We have to have the approval of the user. We generated the first zone, and we have the master DNS. All that during the same weekend.
Les aseguro que fue interesante.
This was something very interesting.
Hoy día estamos teniendo
today,
20,000 accesos,
we have 20,000 daily users accessing, and that might be escalated according to certain contingencies, taking into account the new infrastructure of the application. That is not a problem.
Access
was tripled regarding the previous, or in comparison with the previous platform. We are now publishing two full zones per day, and in the short term, we want to advance with the publication of 8 automated posts.
Las zonas de los DNS ya están
the DNS zones
cinco,
are uploaded to the masters in IANA,
or defined in IANA,
and within Argentina we have
uno
three and two outside the country, and one of them is Anycast network.
Una migración y actualización
we performed
de,
a migration and an update
para
incorporar of,
algunas,
the,
algunos
of Bind to incorporate new features that will be implemented very soon in order to improve safety, peripheral safety, and query safety. And we are now working to diversify the DNS version to reduce the impact on the DNS.
Como proyectos en el futuro, estamos,
as future projects,
realmente con muchas ganas de,
we
de que nuestra red
would like
interna,
to see our internal network, national and regional network be mounted on Anycast so as to have a different level of collaboration
para que la disponibilidad del servicio
so
sea
that
la que
the
hoy
availability
día
of the service is the one that we have at an international level.
Que estábamos por implementar,
I would like to tell you that we are about to implement IPv6, native IPv6, but my team works very quickly, so that is not a project anymore. It is being operating, so you can have a full IPv6. Access.
Y la otra expectativa
and the other expectation, strong expectation that we have,
nuestra reciente inserción en el mundo
taking
de los
into account our recent access to the ccTLD world, is to empower
tienen,
networking
digamos,
among all
nuestras.
The groups having or sharing the same problems that we have. Any person understanding or knowing that we can help or anything we can share or can be shared with us, please contact us because we are willing to help you. We want to improve the things we are doing and we want to implement things that perhaps you might have already implemented. So we don't want to have any problems or obstacles to solve. So thank you very much for your time. If you have any question, please let me know.
Okay, thank you very much. One question in the back from Robert, the Viking who speaks Spanish.
Hello. This is Robert from PCH. I would like to know which kind of problems you had getting IPv6 from your providers and how many of your providers are able to deliver or claim to be able to deliver?
Bien. En Argentina, todos los proveedores son IPv6 full
compliant. This is Mr. Brenta speaking. In Argentina, all the providers are full compliant with IPv6.
Lograr que
in the PPT. So,
el startup operativo
having
fue
the operational startup or achieving
es que
the operational startup status was a little bit harder. In fact, we had certain problems with non-compatible ASNs. The ASNs, they were not compatible with
el
the
tercero,
core. And thirdly, two of them were incompatible with the core. And thirdly,
y a
in the third case, we didn't even
de,
try it.
De
and
insistir,
we insisted
que,
and insisted
digamos,
and insisted. And
camino,
we paved the way for
iOS
accredits, and today we are happily using four or five IPv6 applications in a demo version. This is a big problem in Argentina. I understand that everybody is doing or making a great effort in order to solve this issue. However, the low traffic and the low amount of requests from customers means that providers do not focus on the technical update that is required. However, this is operational to date. Thank you, Roberto, for your question.
Hello. Luis Diego Espinosa would like to know what is the trigger for .ar to have more than 2 million domains. Is it related to to marketing or to technology developments or anything else?
This is Mr. Brenda speaking. I would like to say that people really love us, but in fact, what helps quite a lot is that they are free of charge.
Patricio Poblete de NIC Chile.
Patricio Poblete from NIC Chile speaking now.
El cambio que ustedes hicieron fue de
the change that you implemented was quite a big one. You changed from one paradigm to another one. You had a paradigm in which registrants identified themselves in a certain way to a new paradigm in which registrants use a username and password. Can you share any learning experiences? Is there anything you would have done differently? Because we are about to start a similar process in NIC Chile.
This is Mr. Brenda speaking. Initially,
the shift or the paradigm shift implies making an effort and going along the right way. In as much as the base that you want to migrate is as clean as possible, your day after will be happier or as happy as possible.
En 2,300,000 dominios, 2.3
million domains, well, as you can imagine, we have several users that have registered things that were not sustainable throughout time. So, or they were not able to prove or demonstrate that the identity they used when they registered was still valid and updated. So we had to study this on a case-by-case basis in order to give legal certainty to the registrant and in order to start fighting cyber squatting. So you have to implement certain massive actions, but on the other hand, analyze things on a case-by-case basis. Let us get together later on to analyze these with more granularity and focus on things that were 100% positive and others that were positive but painful at the same time. Is there any further question regarding to this point?
Okay. Muchas gracias.
So, thank you very much for your attention then.
Thank you very much. I'm quite thankful that we managed to get translation services organized so quickly, and I want to take this opportunity to thank the translators for doing a very good job so far. Next is Warren Kumari from Google. We know him all, or most of us do, and he will talk about automating delegation maintenance.
So hi everyone, I'm going to be talking about two drafts that we have in the IETF. Please let me know if I'm going too quickly or you can't hear me or anything like that. So this is about automating the maintenance of delegation information. It actually covers both DNSSEC and other delegation information. I'm going to be focusing on the DNSSEC use case because it's the one I'm most familiar with and also I find it the most interesting. So first off, what's the actual problem here? Well, rolling DNSSEC keys is hard. Actually, it's not really the rolling of DNSSEC keys that's hard. It's the publishing of new DNSSEC keys that's hard. So currently what happens is I roll my keys, and then I need to find my registrar's login information. I've usually forgotten that, so I need to go through password recovery. They do send me another password, then I log in. Then I need to find the domain I want to manage. Then I need to go click on manage DNS information. Then I need to click on DNSSEC information. Then I need to click on bulk upload of DNS records. And then I cut and paste my records, and for some reason they want it in a different format. So I swear a little bit. I add some spaces. I remove some spaces. I click submit. Eventually it works. Then they want to know, do I want to add a new DS record or do I want to replace the current resource record set? I never know which one to pick, so I sort of choose at random. And then half the time, my domains go bogus. This obviously does not make for a good user experience. Publishing your new records is also somewhat dangerous. As I said, it's fairly easy to screw this up. One, there's also a problem if you outsource your DNS operations to a third party. They're the ones who do the DNS key role, but they don't really have a way to upload the new key. There are two solutions for this. One of them involves the DNS operator emailing you the new DS record or DNS key and saying, can you please upload this at 10 p.m. on Thursday? If you don't see this email or you forget, your zone goes bogus. A solution I've heard proposed by some DNS operators is, well, you just tell me your registrar's login information. Basically, you give me your account credentials, and I'll log in as you, and then I can just manage this. This obviously is fairly scary from a security standpoint. So how do we deal with this? Well, the solution that we're proposing in these drafts, or actually in the CDS draft, is simply publish your new DNSSEC key information in your zone. Basically take your new DS record or new DNS key record, you stick a C in front of it, and you publish it in your zone. Technically, it's a new resource record type, but it's easiest to just think of it as stick a C in front of the type. So if your new DS record looks like that, it becomes this. As you can see, it's identical, other than the word DS has changed to CDS. The C stands for child. If your parent prefers DNS keys instead of DS records, exactly the same thing. You publish the new DNS key record, and you stick a C in front of it. Now it's in your zone. So how does this actually end up being published? Well, what will happen is your parental agent will come along every now and then and will poll the zone and will look for any CDS or CDNS key records. If it finds them, it validates them. And if they validate correctly, then it could only have been you who published them. And then it actually sticks them in the parent. So hang on a second, who's this parental agent person? So we have some new terminology here. In the RRR model, the registry, registrar, registrant, the child, which is the registrant, or the DNS operator, is the child. The registry is the parent, just like you would expect. And then the registrar is who we're calling the parental agent. We specifically chose these terms and not, you know, registrant, registry, registrar, because we want this to be a generic solution that can be used in sort of multiple environments. So what ends up happening is the parental agent will pull the child. It does a standard DNS lookup for CDS or CDNS key if it prefers that. And the child is running a standard name server software, bind, NSD, whatever it likes. And it simply replies. It's a standard DNS lookup. It's a standard DNS record, standard DNS server. The parent gets the CDS record. It strips off the letter C, makes sure it validates. And then it pushes it up into the parent or the registry using whatever it currently does. You know, this is likely to be EPP, basically whatever protocol it currently uses. And now the parent has the updated DNSSEC information, and you can start using the new key. In a number of environments, the parent is the same as the parental agent. This is very common in things like enterprises or educational institutions, universities, things like that. basically exactly the same thing happens. All we've done is we've moved the labels around a bit. The parental agent will query the child, so like an example.com, the .com name servers, or a tool on the example.com name servers, query sales.example.com, child replies, parent publishes it in itself using whatever protocol it would currently use. In the RRR model, a fairly common setup is that the DNS operator is the same as the parental agent. Basically, in a lot of places, the registrar will run DNS services for registrants. In these cases, the organization can continue to use what it uses now, or it might actually choose to use CDS because we're expecting that this will become a standard, and it provides a clean separation of sort of duties. And then, you know, it gets published in the parent using whatever protocol the registrar currently uses, EPP probably, whatever. So, a few additional details. Polling, really? Yeah. Currently, what we have specified in the draft is a simple polling mechanism. The parental agent will come along every interval, you know, whatever it chooses, and will query all of its children for CDS, or if it prefers, CDNS key, and will publish them. We fully expect that people will extend this and write additional triggers. Because the system sort of self-authenticates itself, you could have a RESTful interface or a interface based upon updates or notifies or, you know, the phase of the moon, whatever you figure you'd like, you can use that as a trigger to sort of initiate this process. CSync. There's another draft which complements the CDS and CDNS key called CSync. And this stands for Child Sync and was written largely by Wes Hardiker of Parsons or Sparta or whatever Russ's company is called this week. And it does similar things, but it is mainly for name servers and glue. Basically, the CSync record is a type bitmap of which resource record should be copied, and the parental agent will, you know, pull for this resource record type. It will look to see which messages should be copied into the parent, and it will simply copy those verbatim into the parent. So this sort of sounds like two very similar drafts for accomplishing very similar tasks. Yes. They are very similar. CDS and CDNS key is designed and optimized specifically for DNSSEC stuff. It allows for some things like pre-publication of keys, so keys that you want to publish the DS record for but not actually use yet, and similar things. CSync is designed specifically for name servers, glue, potentially also as a trigger for CDS, possibly other future records. Because it simply says what records to copy, it doesn't really work hugely well for pre-publishing of keys. And I think that that's it. Questions?
Roy.
Just
not so quickly. I can't run that fast.
Run that fast?
Nope.
Throw
no, I'm properly handicapped. Thank you very much, by the way.
No worries. Hopefully that was at least vaguely understandable to people.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. My name is Roy Adams. I work for Nominet. This is basically an overview of what's currently going on in the IETF.
Yes.
And the last part I've seen was basically presented in Vancouver 2 weeks ago. However, I've also seen an alternative.
Yes.
A third alternative, if you will. Not that these two are alternative, CSync, and they complement each other, basically. But a third one that I've seen is...
Mark Andrews update.
Mark Andrews update. Could you elaborate a little bit on the difference between CSync, CDS, CDNS key, and update?
So the CDS draft was actually adopted by the DNSSOC working group like 3 days ago, I think. We actually misspelt the draft name, unfortunately. We couldn't remember how to spell maintenance. But I actually have Mark Andrews' thing here as additional slides. The Mark Andrews solution uses standard DNS updates to do this, to achieve similar things. I personally think that it's a fair bit more complex. It involves first the registrar and registrant or DNS operator have to exchange TSIG keys. If you've ever done stuff with TSIG keys, they're a little tricky to get right, unfortunately. Then the child has to query the TLD. Now we'll pretend this is a registry, registrar, registrant model. It has to query the TLD for child.update.tcp.parent. So for example.com, it would be example.com.update.tcp.com. And this means that the TLD has to have a sort of parallel DNS tree. Either that or it has to just delegate, TCP and or actually stick the entries directly in itself. So the zone file gets way bigger. It then replies with a serve record telling the child where it should send DNS update messages to. Then the child has to do a DNS update message to the registrar, authenticated using TSIG. This, of course, means that the registrar needs a TSIG-capable name server. The child needs to be able to speak TSIG. They need to remember which particular TSIG key or credentials they're using. And then the registrar sends this to the registry with EPP or whatever, which then publishes it in the name server. So this all technically works fine and relies upon existing DNS stuff. It just requires, I think, a lot more work on the registrant side than they're comfortable doing. Registrants have a hard time with this. It also requires, the TLD either doubling its size or having a parallel tree, and the incentives seem odd to me. Somewhere we actually have a sort of very brief proof of concept, sort of semi-pseudocode implementation of the CDS thing, and this is largely it. As you can see, it's like 10 or 15 lines of Python, which we think is way simpler than this. Sure. Anyone else? Bueller?
No further questions. Thank you very much, Warren, as usual. Next one is David Peel from ZADNS, DNS Africa, or whatever it's called this week.
Domain name services.
Okay, that's what it's called this week. Where is your thing? There it is. Control Shift F. There you go. And he's going to speak about, I gave a short abbreviation on the agenda, he's going to speak about domain name services, rights protection mechanism that they probably implemented in their new registration system, if I'm not mistaken. Go ahead, then.
Thank you. Domain name services is a technical provider for the ZA Central Registry, which is a GTLD applicant for a number of name domains, the .Africa, .Cape Town, .Durban, and .Joburg. We also operate the technical backend for the ZA Central Registry, which is the CCTLD ZA. And when we were looking at our proposal to ARCAN for the GTLDs, we conceived a rights protection mechanism. And we wanted to group the protection across all the domains, including our CCTLD. So this is basically what we're going to cover. And we looked at the TMCH, and it's a great tool for big corporates who have trademarks registered with trademark authorities and are looking for global coverage. But it does have some limitations, and it covers pretty much the tip of the iceberg when it comes to rights protection mechanisms. Firstly, it's a direct word match on your trademark. So as it's registered with your trademark authority, that's exactly what you're going to get, obviously, with the compatible string conversions in terms of what's a legal DNS. And what we've noticed is that there was a lack of awareness and outreach from the TMCH in Africa. Obviously, these things change, and we've had a discussion with the TMCH operators, and they are looking at collaborating with us in terms of marketing in Africa. So that is changing, which is great. But what we saw was that Africa is full of small micro enterprises that aren't big corporates, that don't technically deal with things like trademarks and international law and that kind of stuff. So we saw a big gap between what the TMCH was offering and what our customers were going to want. So we were proposing that during our sunrise, we wanted to enable local businesses, companies, trusts, common law trademarks to participate in our sunrise process. And we did this through conceiving this mark verification system. It also does give protection to these guys in our CCTLD. We are launching three extra second-level domains. The org is being relaunched. Net and web also are being launched. And CRZA has been running and is currently sitting on about 900,000 domains. We didn't want to reinvent the wheel when it came to the mark verification system, so we modeled this on the TMCH's technical spec that was in the IETF. So basically a mark holder will register their mark through the MVS system. We will validate it and then issue them an SMD, much like you would with the TMCH, and they can then approach any registrar with the SMD and do a domain registration. This obviously avoids the registrars doing any major development, which is great. One of the additional things we wanted to add to the Sunrise was priorities. So the SMDs will have, depending on what kind of mark you register with our mark verification system, you'll either fit into one of the priorities. The first priority is obviously a full trademark registered with a trademark authority, and those will get priority one if they are registered in a African country or district, or and then registered trademarks outside of an African region will be ranked two. Then the common law business names and unregistered trademarks will be priority three if they are in an African region, and priority four would be the unregistered trademarks. Anything greater than four would be our sunrise, our land rush and premium names and generic registrations. If there are two registrations that are on the same priority, we will resolve it through an auction. Being a relatively new company, this is our first foray into the ITF process, and we had two very different experiences. The first is to make our MVS work in the a TMCH model, we wanted a small change done to the EPP launch phase draft that was proposed. The TAN EPP launch phase is an extension mapping for provisioning of management of domains during a launch of a registry or a namespace. So what we wanted to do is add a validator ID so that the registry could tell which mark verification entity the SMD came from. We submitted a change. We discussed it on the mailing list. We engaged with the authors. We submitted a change. And the source for the ITF draft is in GitHub. We were able to create a fork, do an update and a pull request, and our changes were published in version 12 of the draft. So that was quite a smooth process, and we were quite encouraged by that. The second change that we were trying to get done is the Lozano TMCH SMD change. The validator ID is for the application, the EPP domain application. What we wanted to do was the reciprocal was the SMD to send to the registrant was to include a validator ID as well. And this is the Lozano TMCH SMD draft that's in ITF. We weren't able to solicit a response on the mailing lists or from the author in terms of getting an update done to this. And I think that's what the power of these meetings is all about. I've been able to talk to people who are actually actively helping us find and communicate with the authors of these drafts. So a very positive thing is ICANN and IETF meetings that enable us to communicate with the participants. Additional features that we added to the mark verification system are, we call it the Lupin, which is much like the Lorden process where the TMCH will notify mark holders of registrations of their mark. But what we saw was a gap between the registration and the update of your registrant details. So if a mark's registrant is altered, we thought it was valuable for the mark holder to know that their registrant details had changed. Effectively changing your registrant on a domain is changing the owner, so we thought that that was important for the mark holder. Something else we've worked on for the MVS is out-of-bands claims notices. Sorry. A lot of registrars are going to battle, especially in the African market, with the additional development of things like the claims notice, which is a process where the registrars have to display additional information during a sunrise and claims period to a registrant trying to register a domain if there is a claim in one of the clearinghouses. And they have to accept this before they can continue with the registration of the domain. So what we've devised is a process where the registrar, if they send through the domain creation without doing the claims check, we will hold the domain registration until we've done an out-of-band through email to the registrant to confirm that they are aware of the claims before proceeding with the creation of the domain. And any moderated domains that need a central moderation location but would like any registrars to participate in the registration of domains, the MVS is a perfect fit for that. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Any questions? How many people are using this already?
We've involved all the...
The microphone, please.
Yeah, we've involved the top IP firms in South Africa, and currently they are entering marks of their clients into the system to participate in the launches of our domains.
Any other questions? All right, thank you very much. So that gives Jay his usual spot to tell us something very interesting.
You can sit or you can stand.
Hello, I'm Jay Daly from the .nz registry, and this isn't the very interesting slot, this is the wind-up and finish-off slot today. First of all, for those of you who don't know, this is organised by the CCNSO Technical Working Group. Can I ask all members of that to stand up? So there are three of us here. There are one or two others who aren't here. And so we would like to thank all the speakers for coming along, giving their time. Today, certainly, the presentations have been very professional, increasingly professional, and very much sharing best practice. And I think that this reflects the maturing of our industry as people work through many things and learn and share with each other. We are already planning the Singapore meeting, so if you have presentations, please let us know. We've already agreed two of them today, so, you know, please let us, if you've got these ideas, come forward to us. For this today, for one of the first times, we've actually turned down a number of presentations because they, for one reason or another, either they weren't technical enough or they didn't meet with our particular goals today. So please make sure you get them in nice and early, because that almost guarantees you the slot. So we've discussed in the working group some plans for the future that we want to share with you. One which we've mentioned a number of times before is that we want to bring in a wider audience here. Could I ask, if you are not from a CCTLD, could you please raise your hand so we can see how many non-CCTLD people there are? So that's great. So we have seven in the room, and we would hope to have about 50 at some point. And we know that if you're a technical person coming to an ICANN meeting, the number of opportunities that you have to interact on a technical basis are relatively limited, and this is an important one, so we want to broaden the scope of this to other people. We would like to see, if possible, all of the technical meetings in ICANN tagged in some way, just with the word technical, and some effort put in to make sure they don't overlap, because there's the security sessions one has gone on this afternoon as well, which is a poor conflict of time, so that we can maximise things. And I think that many of us do dual roles, so I'm the chief executive of a registry, so I do the technical stuff at times, and other times I'm doing the finances for weeks on end without ever turning the light off or going to sleep, you know. And I think there are a number of people around here who do a very similar job. So we want to try to ensure that we make this more useful in that way. We're also talking about bringing in one or two external speakers, if we can, potentially some high-profile speakers who'll be able to share things with us. The other thing is, the things that we talk about generally have a policy implication, and we are looking at how we can ask people to provide presentations on the things they have learnt here or the things they have talked about here to the CCNSO, removing the technology details and just talking about the policy implications. I think it is important that we, who often are the first to encounter a new issue because we encounter the technology, can be the people who then relate that to the rest of the CCNSO by explaining the policy implications of it. And so we'll be asking more and more speakers possibly to do two presentations or consider two presentations, one technology one and one shorter policy implications one that they can deliver in a different way to a different audience. So that's it from us. Did you want to add anything, Eberhard?
Yes, I wanted to mention two things. The peak number of attendance in the morning was 90. In the afternoon, it was 85. And Norm Ritchie didn't raise his hand when he was supposed to be counted. He is a member of the group. And another member just entered the room, so we were five and not three. In any case, I appreciate all of you who remained until the bitter end. And I'm sort of leaving you now to enjoy the whatever party you're going to tonight. Thank you. Got one more. This guy from